The first reading from Psalm 19, verses 1 to 14. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive me my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 31. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one form, one body, or one spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were given the one spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with a special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greatest gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way.
The reading from Corinthians is a middle part of a passage about the spiritual gifts. And I was a bit surprised, and you might be surprised, that I was going to use the analogy of a cricket team, with John being here. It's obviously meant for him, I think, somehow or other, because he's really keen on cricket. For those who don't know cricket, you have 11 players like football, hockey. But the players have varying gifts and skills. There are some players who are very good at batting and how they play through. That's just going like this. But they are only the best batters. Those most technical ones will open the innings. And when you're playing cricket, you'll have only, normally in the team, only a few of the people will do the bowling. But the bowling varies enormously. Some will come in quick. Some will make the ball swerve this way. Some will be slow, spinning the ball this way and that way. All sorts of craft and nuances. And other players are very good at fielding. Some are very close up. Some are on the boundary because they've got speed of foot and they've got a good throwing arm. And there's normally a guy standing behind the stumps who's the wicketkeeper to catch the ball. It's all different gifts, different skills, but one team. And so it is with God's team. You know, we are the body of Christ. That's our team. You know, it's made up from us. We've all been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we have Christ living within us. Now, this team membership is open to all. Paul wrote it's either for the, it's available to the, whether for the Jews or the Greeks, slave or free. But if in writing today, he might have said for rich or poor, young or old, educated or non-educated, or whatever your political views are, it was open to all. Now, a church and the church is far more than a group of religious people meeting on a Sunday. It's a group who share the same life, belong to the same Lord, are filled with the same Spirit, and receive gifts by the same Spirit. In verse 7 of chapter 12, before our reading, Paul writes, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It's not for the personal benefit, but it's for the benefit of the team and for others we're up against." And from verse 8, we read what those spiritual gifts might be. It says, "The measure of wisdom, the measure of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, all are the work of the one and same Spirit, given to each one as he determines." Now, if you go into Romans 12, Paul expands that list a bit, and it's a bit more encompassing, but some of the same bits come through. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's in leadership, let him govern diligently. So we should expect God's team to have different attributes. The team here will be different to one down the road, one in Colchester, one in Southend. It will be different, but each team is a team and it will have different strengths. And Paul goes on at length using the analogy of the human body. as to the different functions and how each part depends and needs the other parts to function. And in Romans he wrote, members do not all have the same function. In verse 18 of our reading, Paul wrote, God has arranged the parts in the human body just as he wanted. So where we live and who we are in contact with is the very place God wants us to exercise the gifts he has given us. And some of those bits we feel are not very important are very important. I don't realise how much importance you feel there is for your big toe. John will remember Fred Titmuss, a famous English bowler from the 1960s, lost most of his toes on a tour in the West Indies. A blade of an outboard engine of a boat cut his toes off. But he could still play cricket on his bowling balancing foot because he still had his big toe. So every part is important, even the bits we might dismiss. And I remember us at school, there used to be guys who used to make up in the cricket team who you might argue have said were just making up the numbers. But actually, they had an important part to play and they were central for the team's performance. And similarly in the church, some are doing visible, practical things. You know, others are doing, perhaps leading the worship, perhaps standing here, perhaps being like Helen this morning, or whatever. But there are other bits that need doing, which are perhaps not visible, but very vital. It can be spending time in prayer. It can be going visiting people in need. Now, last week, Wendy spoke about unity, and unity in the church is vitally important. It is caring for one another. You know, it's when people are weak, it's looking after them. And in the RSV translation, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together. This honour should be for God's glory, not for our own or our congregation. And Paul goes on about first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, then healers, helpers, administrators, speakers in various kinds of tongues. And it's very easy to think that this is like a list of importance, you know, that the apostles are the most important and the others are less important. But this is really a historical reference to how things happened and how they appeared. And Paul asks a series of questions. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles or possess gifts of healing? Obviously the answer is no. No one has all the gifts. No one can do all the work of the church. We need each other. That is the point he is making. We need each person here for us to function properly. Paul concludes this reading with, but eagerly desire the higher gifts. Now that letter was addressed to a congregation and is to us here. Now, our individual gifts from the Holy Spirit have been chosen, selected by him. But it's good that we should see the other gifts that are more available. But what are the higher gifts? Well, you might just think that if you just carry on the reading, you go into 1 Corinthians 13, which is the great passage about love, which we often hear at weddings. But if you just read on a bit further, in chapter 14, verse 12, Paul seems to give the answer. Since you're eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. Now, our first reading from Psalms 19 sets out aspects of why we can have confidence on our spiritual journey. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. His statutes are trustworthy. His precepts are right, giving joy to the heart. His commands are radiant. The fear of the Lord is pure. His ordinances are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold and sweeter than honey. There are three points I'd like you to take away from this morning. First of all, having confidence in the blessing that comes from knowing and accepting that Jesus is living within us and we are part of him. You know, we're about to sing... we are special for God loves us. Yes, we are very special. We are very special indeed. We are part of a team. We've been selected. He loves us and he's living within us. Now, at the Last Supper, Jesus said the function of the Holy Spirit will be to strengthen us, encourage us, guide us, teach us, and to guide us into all truth. What a great thing to have within us, teaching, encouraging. We all need encouragement, I'm afraid. You know, but I would encourage you to hunger to become more like Jesus by getting to know him better, by spending more time in prayer, reading the Bible, and just, as the songs this morning, inviting to receive more of the Holy Spirit. Second point, none of us are of insignificance. No one is not good enough. That's very important. No one is not good enough to be of use to God. Yesterday I was at a conference at St. John's, and the main speaker was Nick Shepherd, and was talking about setting God's people free. And he gave a story about a 17-year-old who was at a sixth form college in Yorkshire. And the lad thought he was really struggling with his peers he had, and it was making no difference whatsoever. And he suddenly realised that the other students were coming to him and sharing some of their problems and asking for help and advice. And that they also weren't upset by when he said that he would actually pray for them. He was on the front line. He was being used. He was not of insignificance. He was the witness, the lighthouse in that place. And that applies available to all of us. You know, we may not be able to preach or lead worship, but we are part of a team, of a role to play, whether encouraging, praying, being generous with time or money, even ringing the bell, undertaking practical tasks of hospitality, such as helping the door, making tea or coffee, or simply giving loving words to a neighbour or friend in need. Simply living lives that point to Jesus. Now, this is our training ground. You know, I had a wicked thought in the week. I can just see a couple of nets here, John. You know, up this end, you're at the far end, bowling away. But, you know, a training ground is where we hone our skills. But here, we are spending time in our coach's presence, hearing his words, worshipping him, receiving encouragement and support from teammates, so we're adequately prepared and equipped to be his witness and its ambassadors, Monday to Saturday, in lives that are full of love, joy, and ones of integrity. And if we have that, we can build relationships because we listen to people and we can bring them a message of hope and healing words and maybe relieve their traps from their needs or just loneliness, whatever the circumstances happen to be. So that's the message. We are important, we are vital, we are part of a team, and we need each other to function to full capacity. It's the final prayer. Thank you, Lord, for selecting us to be part of your team, the body of Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, our hearts are open. Fill us for the work you have prepared. Amen.